Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The Dodgers gearing up for Game 2 of the NLCS. They're throwing multiple pitchers at the Mets this afternoon. Governor Newsom plans to prevent gas prices spiking. And that goes through final approval today. But first, we start with the latest apparent threat to former President Donald Trump.
We are learning more about the man who was found with guns at that rally here in Southern California over the weekend. And he's telling his own story. The guy with the guns, Vem Miller, lives in Las Vegas, is a UCLA grad, and he talked to Fox News Digital and says he always travels with guns for protection, but he's never actually fired a gun before. He says he reported the guns to authorities at the rally in the Coachella Valley over the weekend, and that the accusations that the sheriff there in Riverside County, Chad Bianco, said his documents were fake, well, he says they're not true. He also said that Bianco is claiming that he's a member of the Sovereign Citizens Movement, says that's nonsensical. Well, that sheriff, Chad Bianco, was also on Fox this morning.
So I never said that he was part of that group. I said it's indicative of that group of people that believe like that. But at the time, we knew nothing about him. That's up to the FBI to find out his background and what he was involved in, if anything. And I'm sure that will come out later. But all we can go off of is what we see at the time and what we know. And what we know now is the only thing that we could arrest him for was those weapons violations.
And he is out on bail for those weapons violations. It's important to note that he is not charged with an assassination attempt.
Well, once the state assembly gives its final blessing, the governor expected to sign a new law, a bill into law today aiming at preventing spikes in the price of gasoline. John Baird is live in the South Bay, of course, home to many refineries here in Southern California. He joins us live.
This is a complicated issue. Refineries keep extra gasoline inventories, so when they go offline for maintenance, we don't see shortages and higher prices. At least that's what the governor is hoping that this will accomplish. But there are concerns as to where the refineries would store the extra gasoline and whether it would really make a difference. Oil industry analyst Andrew Lipow says maybe it's too early to tell.
I think there are periods of time that carrying extra inventory will be a benefit to the consumer. It's just unclear how much that benefit might ultimately be.
Now, drivers are sensitive to gas price increases. We know that. There was an uproar when prices were approaching $7 a gallon a couple of years ago. One man believes prices are high enough. Even now, it really impacts his budget.
Right, it does. A lot. You know what I mean? To where that's ridiculous on gas.
Yeah.
Really, it is.
California already has the highest prices in the nation, gas prices, paying a couple of dollars more than drivers in other states. But refineries here have been shutting down. There used to be more than 50 in the state. Now, according to Andrew Lipow, we're down to less than a dozen that produce gasoline.
The Dodgers have taken a 1-0 lead in the NLCS, crushing the Mets 9-0 in Game 1. Mookie Betts drove in 3, and Shohei had 2 hits and scored 2 runs in the blowout. Jack Flaherty picked up a win, pitching 7 shutout innings while allowing just 2 hits. Dodger pitchers have not given up a run in 33 straight innings and ties in the Major League Baseball postseason record. We talked about it this morning with Newsweek baseball writer J.P. Hornstra, and says it'll be the pitching by committee today, like they did last week against the Padres.
8 different pitchers took the mound. None of them were on the mound for more than 5 outs. So you're going to see a lot of pitchers coming through the game today for the Dodgers, and I'm interested to see how that shakes out.
He's going to be at the game. A Dodger fan came from New Mexico to see the last one.
108, first time pitch. We're going to beat Manea. We're going to go up 2-0. We got it. Go Dodgers.
Game 2 set for 1 o'clock this afternoon, Dodger Stadium.
And we can't wait. The owner of a small family-owned jewelry store in the city of Orange says a couple stole a box of rings worth more than $150,000, told KCAL News they robbed him in the middle of the day last month.
They don't care. They have no mercy.
He says he doesn't keep the rings in cases. Instead, he shows dozens of them at once in large jewelry boxes.
She pulled one of the boxes, put it on the seat, and the guy is talking to me to block my vision so I don't see him.
He says security cameras caught it all, and police right now still investigating it all. Well, 22 days left before the election, and former President Donald Trump, Vice President Kamala Harris hitting several swing states this week. Also, the man arrested for having guns outside the big Trump rally in Riverside County says he's a supporter of the former president. Joining us live to talk about this and much more, CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarland.
Scotty Mac, good morning.
Good morning to you both.
Guns at a Trump rally. I hate to say it, it almost doesn't come as a surprise anymore. Is he going to have to be sort of encased in bulletproof glass at some point?
This one's a little different. In this case, honestly, it's a little bit messy. The man they've arrested is 49 years old. His name is Vim Miller. He tells CBS News he's a longtime Trump supporter, that he was invited to the rally, and that he's been trying to help with the reelect. And the sheriff here in Riverside says that, you know, this may have been a foiled assassination attempt, but the federal law enforcement sources speaking with CBS News say there's no indication of that, that Donald Trump was in no danger, that this individual was stopped before Trump even got to the site for the event. This is not adding up.
Scotty, you know, if you look at one channel, they'll have a poll saying Donald Trump's ahead. Another channel says Vice President Kamala Harris is ahead in the polls. How close are we, really, with these polls in this as of now? What are we, like I said, 22 days before the election? How close are they?
Everything's moving within the margin of error, which means it's not really moving in a measurable way. This thing seems stuck in the mud where it was about a month ago with Vice President Harris with about a 2 or 3 point lead in national polls and a coin flip in all those battleground states where things will be decided. There seems to be such a lack of elasticity in the electorate, and it's manifesting itself in the polls. Anybody who has confidence somebody's leading or somebody is trailing or somebody's selling snake oil at this point, this appears to be everything but a jump ball in a literal sense.
I want to go back to the situation with the Trump rally in the Coachella Valley, because it may be different this time, certainly, as you pointed out, and we know. But the fact that we keep talking about someone with guns, whatever their intent, near a Trump rally seems concerning. Is there any additional concern with the campaign to give him added protection above and beyond what he's got now?
Absolutely, Vicky. And first of all, the Secret Service has said they've ratcheted up the security around Donald Trump after Butler, Pennsylvania, after July 13th. And they credit some of that with, you know, what happened in Florida, in West Palm, where somebody was detected allegedly with a firearm near Trump before any shots were fired by that defendant. But this is a reality with 22 days left, that the campaigns need protection around the clock. The president needs protection around the clock. And there's concern the Secret Service is being stretched thin here and that they don't necessarily have the staffing or resources to do this in such a broad way in the long term. May need to hire more. May need to pay more. May need to recruit more. May need more resources.
Very quickly, Scotty, we've seen Donald Trump here in California at that rally, as we discussed, the House Speaker, the Minority Leader, again, here in California, because it's all about down ballot, right? Control of Congress. So reading the tea leaves, you know, we talk about who's going to win the White House. Who's going to take Congress?
Oh, boy, that's such a big question. Who's leading right now for all those California U.S. House incumbents fighting tough reelections? You know, there's a bunch of them in California, which could swing the entire balance of power in the U.S. House, which would certainly help or hamper a future President Harris or future President Trump. I'm assigned on election night to cover the congressional races. I have a laser focus on Southern California. All those House races are competitive.
Always a pleasure. CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarland, thank you.
Important to get out and vote.
Very.
Everybody's got to wear those stickers.
Yes.
Get it done. Easier than ever. A Navy parachute jump goes wrong, sending a woman and a child to the hospital. NASA set to launch a probe to Jupiter today. Those stories and more. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But first, cleanup continues after Hurricane Milton in Florida. President Biden once again returned to the Sunshine State to check on recovery efforts. CBS News correspondent Tom Hansen has more.
President Biden thanked utility workers from around the country for restoring power to nearly 1.8 million customers.
Well, look at the number that showed up from around the country. From Canada, California, Nebraska.
The president is pushing for Congress to return for a special session and approve more aid. But on Face the Nation, House Speaker Mike Johnson told Margaret Brennan he won't ask lawmakers to come back before Election Day.
It would be premature to call everyone back now because these storms are so large in their scope and magnitude.
Early estimates of property damage are upwards of $70 billion.
And the number of homes and businesses in the state still without power dropped to about 500,000. Hurricane Milton blamed now for 23 deaths in the state of Florida.
Listen to this. A Navy parachutist missed his target and accidentally landed on top of a woman and a child. This happened yesterday at the Fleet Week up in San Francisco. A witness told ABC 7 in the Bay Area that she saw the woman being loaded onto a stretcher in what looked like a neck injury. Both her and the child taken to the hospital. The Navy said in a statement, "We cannot immediately assess what happened. However, we will review the incident as they do and determine the cause."
This is interesting. I saw some video on this earlier. A cluster of drones been flying over an Air Force base in Virginia, Langley, to be exact. Every night for over 2 weeks, Wall Street Journal reports the Pentagon, they're stumped. Senior commander and other officials, officers, say they usually come into the restricted airspace after 45 minutes after sunset. As many as a dozen or more drones follow one by one. They fly over the Navy SEAL team and Naval Station about 20 miles away. U.S. officials are not sure what's behind the fleet. It is against the law to shoot down drones near U.S. military bases unless they are of imminent threat. Officials still looking to see who's putting those things up.
Mission to Jupiter. A NASA spacecraft is expected to blast off later this morning from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
The Europa Clipper will explore Jupiter's icy moon, the first spacecraft dedicated to that kind of exploration rather than just a hit-and-run flyby. The attraction? Europa's vast oceans, rich with oxygen and other life-supporting elements. Gina DiBraccio is NASA's acting planetary sciences director.
We continue to underscore the Europa Clipper. It's not actually a life detection mission, but it's a habitability investigation. We're looking for those key ingredients for life.
Europa Clipper has a long trip ahead, about 1.8 billion miles, 5.5 years. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Another milestone for SpaceX. Here's CBS's Elise Preston.
SpaceX is celebrating a spectacular feat, the launch of Starship, the most powerful rocket ever built, and the catch and return of its first stage booster to the launch pad. Just 7 minutes after liftoff in Boca Chica, Texas, the 232-foot steel rocket flew back where giant metal arms called chopsticks grabbed it. Cheers erupted for this uncrewed fifth test flight. Starship traveled halfway around the world before splashing down in the Indian Ocean, bringing SpaceX closer to developing a fully reusable rapid rocket.
Now, Elon Musk posted on X, it's a big step forward making life multiplanetary. That was made today. He said it's science fiction without the fiction part.
Hundreds of dialysis workers at more than three dozen locations around California. They're going on a strike today. They say it's going to last 6 days. So this is going to impact people. Art Sanders says the workers say they are walking off over staffing shortages, low pay, and management union busting tactics.
The registered nurses, patient care technicians, licensed vocational nurses, certified clinical hemodialysis technicians, dietitians, social workers, clinical administrative coordinators, and receptionists are also calling for executives at DaVita, Fresenius, Satellite Healthcare, and U.S. Renal Care to stop retaliating against them for advocating for their rights and better patient care. They say the two largest dialysis corporations spend significant amounts of money on anti-union efforts while reporting substantial profits. As the workers go on strike, the industry faces growing scrutiny from lawmakers and patient advocates who are calling for reforms to improve transparency, safety, and accountability at dialysis clinics. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
It was 9-0 in game one. The Dodgers beat the Mets. They're going to try again today. 1 o'clock game time. And we talked about it with Newsweek's baseball writer, J.P. Hornstra, who's going to be at the game. And he told us what he's looking forward to seeing.
Well, I'm interested to see who the Dodgers are going to have on the mound. Of course, Jack Flaherty threw 7 shutout innings in game one on Sunday. That was kind of the big hero performance in that 9-0 win. Today's going to look a lot different. Ryan Brazier, a reliever, is expected to start the game. And you're going to see a bullpen game which is exactly what they used to beat the San Diego Padres in game 3 of their series last week. And 8 different pitchers took the mound. None of them were on the mound for more than 5 outs. So you're going to see a lot of pitchers coming through the game today for the Dodgers, and I'm interested to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, that's interesting because the pitching team apparently was once seen as the team's biggest weakness, but has turned into their biggest strength. Just different strategy?
Yeah, I think strategy absolutely plays into it, particularly when you have bullpen games like what you're going to see today. And it's really incumbent on the manager to say, all right, which pitcher do I want for the next 3 batters? Which pitcher do I want for the next 3? And so on and so forth. And he's got an entire bullpen to choose from. But let's not discount Flaherty going out there and facing the New York Mets over and over and over again, pitching 7 shutout innings. Yoshinobu Yamamoto in game 5 against the San Diego Padres of the NLDS. Also threw 5 shutout innings in his start. Those starting pitchers to face the same batters over and over again and keep it unpredictable. That's what playoff baseball's really been built on in baseball history.
JP, last night's game, you know what? They made it look real easy, didn't they? The Dodgers? I mean, is this what we're going to expect? Do you think, your gut feeling, is this what we're going to see for the rest of the series? Or was last night just, you think, maybe a fluke? Which we hope not.
Well, I think the final score in terms of the disparity was a fluke. That was the largest, most lopsided postseason win in Dodgers franchise history. I'm not going to predict that over again. You know, it could be jet lag, right? The Mets just flew in from the East Coast. They'd been in their own time zone playing the Phillies in the previous round. They got into L.A. a couple days early, but that could be some jet lag effect that you see today. It's kind of an interesting 1 o'clock start. That's 4 o'clock New York time. I'm guessing they're going to be a bit more ready for this one than they were yesterday. But, you know, they've got left-hander Sean Manaea on the mound. The Dodgers really haven't seen too many left-handed starting pitchers in a while. So that could introduce an element of uncertainty where Mets might have an advantage.
The fans want a sweep. Can they get it?
Absolutely. I don't think that the disparity between these two teams is quite what you saw yesterday, but the Dodgers, if they continue to pitch this way, you're not going to lose if you don't give up a run. So although I wouldn't expect that to continue forever, I think the Dodgers have tapped into something here with respect to their pitching staff that I wouldn't have predicted it to go 4 games. But look, at this rate, you can't rule it out.
There you go. J.P. Hornstra, Newsweek baseball writer. Game time, 1 o'clock, Dodger Stadium. Look for traffic around there and hopefully a win.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.